Okay, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and continue from where we were last week there. Anybody remember what last week, what we talked about?
Rest.
Very good. Rest for the people of God. And if you go down to verse 11, you pick up there. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Those are scriptures that we go to pretty often, and we take them out of the context. It's still good that way, but it's even better to understand it in the context. He's talking about if you're going to enter into that rest. And there's a verse in Ephesians 6 and verse 17. I'll read that real quick. It's about the armor of God. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So, there in verse 11, he said, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief," which was the Old Testament, the Israelites, and how they just didn't enter in because of unbelief. And we went through all that. And he said, it's going to happen to you too if you don't work, labor, to keep from doing it. Now, we know we don't work for our salvation. That's the first thing anybody jump up and say, "Well, you believe in works?" No. Listen to the whole thing. That's people's problems nowadays. They won't listen. They read the headline, and that's all they read. And they don't read the rest of it. I've preached for a long time, and I'll tell you, that's how people do. They'll pick one thing that you said out of context, and they won't listen to anything else. And they won't listen to the whole message. And so they misunderstand, they rob themselves, and they deceive other people, and they mess up their life with their carelessness about the Word of God. So he said, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Now, whether you like it or not, that's what the Bible says. So what we need to do, if that twists you the wrong way there, you just need to read the whole Bible and understand what he's saying. Now, we know we don't work for our salvation, but we do work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Work it out. Not work for it, work it out. The context here in this chapter proves that the Bible is instructing us to be very diligent about our soul, about our spirit, about our faith. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. We're admonished so many times in the Bible to do that. Right. Take a look at yourself. Never get to the place where you're just so sure of yourself and so secure that you can't question nothing about what you believe. Exactly. You know, all this mess in our country, and I don't even want to talk about it, but that's part of the deal there. The problem is that people refuse to look at evidence. Look at truth. They won't listen. No, I won't look. I won't listen. I won't listen. And if you're that way with your Christianity, you ain't got any. I'll tell you that right now. If you know what you have, it won't bother you a bit for it to be brought into the light and questioned. You can back it up with the Word of God confidently and surely. And you're not concerned or scared or made nervous or angry if somebody pokes at you a little bit and questions you about it. So that's what this whole deal is about here. You better be very diligent, all of us better, about our soul, our spirit, our faith, our life, to make sure that we really are reconciled to God and that we do believe and understand the truth properly. You better labor at it. Labor diligently. Labor therefore to enter into that rest. That's what he's talking about. And make sure that you're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you just kick back and relax after you made your profession of faith and got baptized, and you don't study and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will fall short.
Right.
You will fall like they did. You have to grow. You have to keep going. Salvation begins with repentance and faith in Christ. That's the beginning. That's the birth. But that's not the life.
Yep.
The life goes on, and a newborn spirit needs the bread of life, which is this Word of God right here. Just as a newborn infant needs milk. But a newborn infant can't survive on milk forever. I feel so sorry for these little old babies whose mamas go to the doctor and the doctor says, nothing but milk for the first year. And they're the fussiest, sickest, fattest, hungriest, dissatisfied babies on the face of this earth. The baby newborn needs milk. And he can't handle heavy stuff. He can't handle food. But it ain't long till he can. And he needs to start. And we've always encouraged it with common sense.
Yes.
You don't feed a newborn baby
oatmeal
or steak or, you know, grease. You don't do that. But man, I've watched these little kids, and boy, they ain't long. I mean, as soon as they start opening their eyes and becoming aware of the world around them, they're wanting that. And if you don't give it to them, you're going to have a dissatisfied person on your hands. And he won't get over that when you do start giving it to him. You set in his soul a habit of being dissatisfied and unfulfilled and left out and mistreated. You have to have it in your soul too. When you're born of the Spirit, you need to get on it. I mean, you got to have some milk and easy stuff for a while from the Word of God, but it's not long till you need to start eating more substantial stuff that sticks with you, that gives you strength in your soul, that builds it up. And that's a fact. You better labor at it. You better labor. Because that, you're not going to enter into rest if you don't. That's what it says straight on here. The Bible goes on here to remind us of the great advantages we have at our hand here to help us in this matter. First was the Word of God. And then he talks about our great high priest. And then he talks about access to the very throne of God in the last verse there. You got all these things going for you. Labor in the Word of God. Labor to know your high priest, that mediator, Christ. I mean, you've got the Word of God, the written Word of God, all of you holding it on your lap right now. I mean, this is the only thing that we have on this earth that is absolutely divine. This is the Word of God. And then we have Christ, which the Old Testament people didn't have like we have. They look forward to His coming, but we know He came. We have heard His very words, and He recorded them for us in that book you got in your lap. And then we have access to the very throne of God. In the Old Testament, the high priest could go in one time a year into the Holy of Holies. And he says right here, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That is the Holy of Holies. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. We can go right in to God through Christ. He made the way. So we got all this going for us. There is no excuse. No excuse for us not to be laboring in these things so that we'd enter into that rest. I mean, when it comes, here's what it amounts to. When it comes to the time of our dying or our big trouble in our life, we ought to be able to go right on through with all we've got going for us. There's no excuse for a Christian to be depressed beyond hope and to despair and to live like that. You hear me?
Yes,
Right. Ain't no excuse. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I'm not going to even try to cover all of that today. I'm going to try to just, we're going to talk about the Word of God for just a little bit here, and then we'll go home. But we have the sword of the Spirit. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 there, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. All of the armor of God, there's only one weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is all we have to battle with. This is the only weapon that we have to defend ourselves with, but we don't just defend ourselves with it. You go on the offensive with it. It is quick, it says, first of all. It is quick. Does that mean it works fast? No, that ain't what it means. It means it's alive. Quick means living. It's alive. And it really, really is. It's different than any other book that's ever existed on this earth. That book you got right there. It certainly is. And all of history proves that it is. I mean, you can turn back to Deuteronomy and you can read the same words that you see in the New Testament where Christ read them in the temple. Yeah, in the synagogue, rather. I mean, you can see where he quoted them to the devil. You can read the same words.
Yes, sir.
You can read in the Old Testament in Isaiah where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor." It says he entered into the synagogue there and he turned to that place in Isaiah where it said that. You can turn to that place in Isaiah right now in your Bible right there.
I sure can. Amen.
How many times has it been kings and despots through the ages have tried to do away with it? Have you ever read just a little bit of the stories of all these proudful men who hated God and were going to do away with it? And replace it with their works of wisdom and books. And it lives on. I mean, Hitler burned it. Voltaire said he was going to do away with it and replace it with his. And they used his house to print Bibles after he was dead.
Yep.
And they ain't going to do it. I mean, all flesh is as grass. And it's going to fade away like the grass and the flower. But the Word of our God will stand forever. It'll not go pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And they're not going to. You can bank on it. They could burn all the Bibles. I've still got it in my heart.
Yes, sir.
I read one time, and I've told you this before, but I thought it was a really good idea. There was a bunch of people got together, a number of people. I'm talking about like 100 or 200, and they all memorized a section of the Bible. And so they all came together in one place and they sat down and they took their pencils and paper and they wrote an entire Bible in just a matter of an hour or so. You can't get rid of it. No more than you can get rid of God. No more than you can get rid of Christ. His kingdom is in us. It's in us. It's not of this world. And so they can't do away with it. It's quick. It's alive. It is really, truly alive, but not to a carnal person, because it is spiritually discerned. This is a spiritual book, and it's like the spiritual stuff I've been preaching on Wednesday nights. If you're carnal, you do not understand this book. It's dark to you. It's mysterious, and it's boring, and it doesn't make any sense. And you like to, if you're carnal, you like to just pick through it and hunt for places to prove to your own rebellious, hateful soul that it's not true.
Right.
It's amazing to me how these skeptics and unbelievers and God haters can dig through it and find their contradictions. They believe it contradicts itself. It seems to them that it does. Only those born of the Spirit can actually recognize the fact that it is truly alive. And to them, listening to me say that, they just brush it off. Ha! They don't believe a word of it. Well, they're very foolish. They will find out one of these days that they'll be judged by this book. And they'll find out how wrong they were. It's not something that you understand all at once. It's not something you get just as soon as you're saved. The wonder of the Word of God. You start reading it. It's like, you know, babies love that milk. But it's not something that just fascinates. I mean, it's just milk, 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 milk. But boy, when they start tasting things other than milk, one of the delights of having children is when they get to that, is putting new tastes in their mouth and watching their face. How it just lights up, and that's what happens to your soul.
Yes, sir.
With the Word of God. When you get away from that milk, 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 and you start tasting the things of the world to come and the wonders of God, and you start seeing how it just fits together. To the spiritual mind, it shines brighter and brighter as he reads it and studies it. And that continues and grows more intensely true as the years go by. I can tell you that. I mean, that is what I know after 40 plus years of it. I'm way more fascinated with it now than I was back then.
Yes, sir.
It was interesting, and there was just so much. It was overwhelming that I had to learn. I had to learn. And now it's overwhelming how much is there that I ain't seen yet. And I know it's there.
Yep.
It's amazing to me how the Bible is so true in every aspect of everything to do with life, the universe, everything. It's just right on the mark. Every time. But you know, the Word of God, we read that back in the verse earlier in this chapter, in verse 2 it is. It said, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You know, that's how do you get saved? I mean, what is the beginning of it? What must you do to be saved? I mean, I know that's, you don't know what to say. Believe. There has to be faith. There's a point in your life where you stop trying not to believe and you start trying to believe. And it all, the Bible comes alive for you depending on whether you believe it or not. Whether you're trying to believe it or not. If you look at it with skeptical eye and a heart that's really wanting to reject it, you're never going to understand it. It's not going to open up to you. It's only through faith that it opens up. When you believe God and you may have doubts in your mind. You may have questions. You have things and ideas and information that you've put in there through your life in this ungodly world that won't fit and you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Well, just start looking with faith.
Yes.
And the Bible will settle your nerves and settle your worries and calm your mind and put you at peace about all that stuff. Truths in the Bible come together and they fit like pieces of a giant puzzle as we study and grow in its knowledge and wisdom. Oh, that is so true. I mentioned last week, I think, about how there's been different times in my life where it was just like stepping out into another great big room. And that's and then when you do that, you just have to start looking back at everything and everything just fits together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it any better than that. But it just, your understanding just expands.
Yes, sir.
And everything is just so much more sure. You just know. I mean, you're established and settled.
Yep.
More and more and more as you go through that. Because the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's living. And living and life goes on. It don't just sit in one place. You ain't a tree.
No.
Not that kind of life. That's not the kind of life we are. It moves and it goes and it breathes.
Yeah.
The Bible has survived all the attempts to destroy it and do away with it through all the ages. It's alive and it's divine and it is the Word of God and it will stand forever just as it claims. So it's alive. I know that. I don't know how to convince anybody else of that. You have to know that yourself by experience from studying, reading, living the Bible. And it takes time. You don't get it in one service. You don't get it from some preacher. You don't get it from anywhere else. You don't get it from books. I've seen more people ruined by getting overboard with reading other books.
Yes.
Now, I'm not one of these people that says don't read anything but the Bible. I'm not like that. But I know that there's a fine line there, and I watch people and they get to reading other people's ideas and advice and philosophies, and the first thing you know, they've left the Bible in the dust behind and they're just seeking after some other man, some other woman to tell me something else. It's powerful. It's quick and it's powerful. That word is insufficient to describe the Word of God. Powerful. The universe was created by the Word of God. Now we're told that. All things were created by Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The universe was created by Him. Do you know what the word universe means? Y'all know what it means, don't you? It means one word. He made the stars also. Man don't have a clue how many there are. God knows exactly how many there are. Bible says He does. He calls them, He named them all. So He knows how many there are and He knows their names. And man looks up at the heavens and 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, can't even. Builds him a telescope and looks through a dark place and there's another hole, like a whole other universe. So he can't count them. And the Bible just says He made them too. Yeah. Besides the earth, heavens and the earth, and all the things that are in there, therein, the fowls of the air, and the beasts of the field, and the fish of the sea, and man, and woman. And He made the stars too. One word. He spoke it into existence. He didn't make it out of something that was already there. They said it was a big bang. This big ball of stuff blew up, and that's where everything came from. I just don't understand how an intellectual mind that has IQ above 30 could even think that and accept it in any way.
That's right. Yes, sir. Crazy.
As even a five-year-old child, his first question would be, where'd the big ball of stuff come from?
Yeah. Yes.
And they can dismiss that. Because they want to believe they're lying. The Bible talks about the things that were created were not made of things which are seen. He made it out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. He said, let it be. And there it was. Let there be light. There's light. It didn't come from nowhere. He didn't fashion it with His hands. There it was. That's how powerful the Word of God is. What's that right there that you're holding? That's the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. That's pretty powerful. Create a universe.
Mm-hmm.
But its practical power on this earth is its ability to bring sinful men and a holy God back into communion and peace. Reconciliation one with another. That's the real power of the Word of God. Do you ever wonder and fret and mull over the problem of sinners and how they hate God and don't understand and they don't believe and how can we get them to believe and why won't they believe? You ever do that? Well, you'll never convince them. I'll never convince them. The apologists will never convince them. Science will never convince them.
That's right.
The Word of God is the only thing that will convince them.
Yes.
Its power is felt in the minds and the hearts of the sons of men. There's never been another book like it because it is the Word of God. Its power far exceeds anything else at our disposal for dealing with evil in this world. That's what everybody's concerned about, all the evil that's just arisen, and it's a tidal wave of evil. And what are we going to do? And oh my, what should we fight? How are we going to do it? We need a leader. No, we just need the Word of God.
Yes.
It's the only thing that deals with evil. What I'm saying is insufficient to describe what the real truth that I'm telling you here. You say, well, that's good. Yeah, we need to learn some Bible verses and need to learn some things from the Bible. It'd help us. No, man. That ain't it at all. It is the answer.
That's right.
It is the power. This is the power.
Yep.
Not any kind of organization of men. Not any kind of army. Not any kind of weapon. This is our weapon.
Yes.
To put down evil.
Yes.
It's more powerful than reason. It's more and beyond. I mean, my goodness. It's more powerful than fear. It's more powerful than threats, force, kings, governments, and their armies. Now think with me, and I know I'm kind of, you know, stepping on toes out there, but how do people try to win souls to God in the churches with their preaching, with their witnessing? I mean, what tactics do they use? What and have for generations here?
Mm-hmm.
What do they use? Well, they use reason. Gary talked about going out soul winning and all of your training that you do to pitch a sale, just like selling a car.
Yeah.
That's reason, not the Word of God. Now you can quote your Bible verses and say, I am using the Word of God. No, you're just using the Word of God as your prop. You're not preaching the Word of God. You're not giving them the Word of God. You're giving them your sales pitch, because you're in competition with the others at church. So you can come back and boast about your achievements and accomplishments. And that's, you know that word in the Bible, emulation? That's what it is. That's competition. There's emulation among you. That competition. You're competing with one another to see who's the greatest. And churches use that to try to operate their ministry. They have contests and done it for years. Oh, my goodness. But it's more powerful, the Word of God is, than reason. It's more powerful than fear. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I know that. But that's not how you get somebody saved, is scare them into it. You want to die and go to hell? I mean, you're going to go to hell and fry like a sausage tonight if you leave here and you're not saved, and you might be out here. And put the fear of God in them. You ain't putting the fear of God in them. You're just trying to manipulate them through their emotions and imagination to make some profession that don't deal with the real problem at all in their soul, which is their sin and their enmity with God. Now, the Word of God, if you preach the Word of God, it'll do that. It'll deal with them. Because it is a sharp two-edged sword, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it goes even to the part, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. I mean, it goes in where a real sword won't ever go. It deals with that inner man and with the real problem. But we use fear, and we use reason, and we use threats, and we use force, and we use bribes and gimmicks. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to see your mama when you get to heaven? Don't you want to see all your loved ones? You want to never be able to see them again? Surely you want to go to heaven. I mean, you know, heaven's just going to be a wonderful place. Don't you want to go there? That's the way it's presented most now. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, of course. How many of you want to go to heaven when you die? Everybody raise their hand.
Yeah.
Well, then just repeat after me. That's not the Word of God. It's more powerful than any stronghold of Satan.
Yes.
And I mean what I'm saying here. It's stronger. It's more powerful than any stronghold of Satan in any mind or life or any part of this evil world system. And you're looking at some strongholds. They're in the high places and they've got control. The high places of this world, the information, the news media, the social media, all, it's under their control. The money system is under their control. The government is under their control. Stronghold. Satan has his stronghold there in that world system. He has his strongholds in the souls and minds and hearts of people. And the Word of God is the only weapon that will root them out.
That's right.
Out of your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, out of this world system. Who in their right mind thinks that we're going to raise an army and fix this problem? To me, it is absolute foolishness and absurd to even think that that's a possibility. And yet that's where most people are thinking right now. Yes. Through their passion of anger and wrath, and that's what they're thinking. And that's what the world will do, and that's what the world does. But not the child of God. You need to wake up and realize, and all Christians do that are really real right now, that this is the answer. The Word of God. It's all we got. Yes. It's all we've got to go on the offensive. It's all we've got to defend ourselves. If you ever read any of the martyrs when they were on the cross, when they were on the pole being burned, when they were before the judgments and the seats and the councils and all of that, have you ever read the way they answered? Everything that was thrown at them, they answered with the Word of God. They knew. And you know what happened? A lot of times, some of the councils and some of the judges and others, they believed. Because of the Word of God. Because it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts, buddy. Even if you say, I don't believe a word of it, it's a book of fantasies and myths. Don't make no difference what you say, what you think, what you believe. If you're that way, the Word of God will cut you just as much as it'll cut anybody. All it needs is somebody to say it. And it works, boy. It condemns. It cuts right into their heart. Now, they may go plumb ballistic and kill you for it. Like Saul of Tarsus. Standing there that day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And when they heard this in that chapter 7 of Acts there, they were cut to the heart. The words of Stephen. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Boy, that was a man, I mean, he hit him hard right there. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. And they were cut to the heart. Because he hit them with truth. Right from the Word of God. And it's more powerful than any stronghold of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know it don't look that way right now in this world. I mean, we look around at our country and this world, and the forces of evil have just taken over. And the people of God, when they look through a carnal mind and they look through an earthly system, they don't see any way this is ever going to get fixed. I mean, it looks like we are in a post-Christian era. That is laughable. Jesus said on this rock, well, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For them to think, for anybody to think or be discouraged or think that this is, it's all over. My, it's all over. Look, just look. How is anybody ever going to believe? How are we ever going to have church anymore? Well, the thing is, the more they persecute, the more we'll must multiply and prosper. You know, persecution does for the church what nothing else will do. I keep saying it, but the herd's being separated right now, and the flock is being separated out. I read this morning, "Fear not, little flock," Jesus said. "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And in the that was in the context of the last days. Yes. And all the, well, of not trusting and being worried about things of this earth. Yes. It's in Luke chapter 12. And so, you know, it really fit. I told her this morning, this really does fit for the time we're living in. What a shame and a disgrace we don't realize and use it as the only weapon we have for spiritual warfare. It's a shame that we're not more skillful in the use of this sword. We wear our helmets and everything else and hide. And we run from the fight. When we ought to be skillful. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to be so familiar with it and not just having a bunch of verses that you can just spit out. I mean, you ought to have understanding of the Word of God. And you ought to be led by the Spirit. And I'd learned this a long time ago when I knew a whole lot less than I do now. How that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God that's in you to help you in those times. Witnessing to people. I've been... You know, when the Lord opens that door, I used to go out and do what everybody else does, you know, and just force it, got to do it. And knock on a door, and knock on another door, and just go through the spiel. And it was a burden, it was oppressive, and it was just, and when I learned that when you're led by the Spirit, and you pray, and God opens a door for you to witness to somebody, it's just like water flowing down a creek bed. It is. There's no struggle. There's no uncertainty. And there's no anxiousness. It just flows. That is the truth. And it is powerful. And He'll pull scriptures out of you that you don't even know is in there.
That's right.
I've quoted verses that I never memorized, but I've read them. And God knows which button to push. He knows which folder it's in up here. And He can just find it right now when it's needed. And that's the way to be.
Yes, sir.
But it's not going to be in there if you don't read it and study it and find it out.
Yes.
And let God give you the understanding through His Word. It's sharper. You see why I said I'm not going to try to cover all of them? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword cuts both ways. A sword is pretty fearsome, isn't it? Would you rather be shot or cut up with a sword? Like Samuel did Agag. Would you rather just be shot from a distance and go, oh,
yes.
Clunk?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have somebody run a sword through you four or five times and spill your innards out all over the place? Sword's a fearsome weapon.
Yes, sir.
It's funny that the Lord likened the Word of God to a sword. Some people call it a sword. It cuts where a two-edged sword can't reach, though. It cuts into the heart, the spirit, and the soul of man. A sword can cut your body all to pieces, but it can't touch your soul. It can't deal with your mind except to strike fear into you. It deals with that part of man that's the problem between him and God. And it pierces to divide it asunder, you see. That's the Word of God we're talking about. What a shame that we so often lay aside our sword and try to use reason and fear and the offer of gifts so as to bribe sinners into joining our ranks. Don't you want to go to heaven with us when you die? I mean, we're all going to heaven. You want to go too? Yeah, you come to our church, we'll give you some money. Come to our church, we'll give you a prize. Don't you want to be a part of the gold club, the silver club, the bronze club? If you don't want that, we can keep. They're like bargaining with a Mexican, you know. See, what are you talking about? I went down to the market one time, parked my truck, and here they come. We want your truck. And I said, how much? And they said, 50,000 pesos. And I said, oh, no. And they said, too much? I said, yeah. And they said, okay, 40. And I said, no. And they just kept on. They kept coming down. Finally, they said, 15. And I said, okay. I had one guy trying to sell me a little golden or a little bronze bell one time. I said, no, I ain't got any money. I don't want it. I can't afford it. He started out the same way, way up there, 100,000 pesos or something. And I said, no, man, no. And well, come on. He went all the way down to like 5 from 100. He just was going to give it to me. I still wouldn't buy it from him. And that's the way people do when they're dealing with souls. Trying to buy them. When you got the Word of God, that'll absolutely do what has to be done. My mind and reasoning and my conversation and my clever talk and all of that will not do that. The Word of God will. Just remember that and believe that and practice that. Learn the Scripture. Give them the Scripture. That's why these signs that Brother Norm's put around all through the years, I hate to see that stop, because that is one of the most worthwhile ministries, the most worthwhile thing that you could do. Put the Word of God out there. Yes. People read that verse on a sign. They can't help it. They look at the sign and they read it before they can stop themselves. And the Word of God's powerful. Yes. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you've got the Word of God in them. You may hand them a tract and they'll throw it in the trash. They'll put it in their pocket. They'll forget it. Most people will not read them. I don't mean you ought not to give them out, but I'm just saying the Word of God is better. If we're going to pass out tracts, I think the best thing to do would be to put Scripture verses on them. And just hand them a card. Some of the most effective ones I've seen are just like a little business card with a Scripture on it. A short Scripture. Not a whole half a book out of the Bible. They won't read it. No. Yeah. So it only makes them twofold more the child of hell when we try to buy them in or reason them in or scare them in or anything like that. It's only the Word of God that turns a proud spirit into a humble one. And it changes that perverse and rebellious spirit into a humble and submissive one. I know some people through my life, and I still know them, that before they were saved, man, they had a name for being mean and reckless and wild. And after they got saved, if you didn't know them before, you would never even believe that they could have been that way, because they were so changed in their spirit. Well, what did that? Did they just do that? One day they just said, you know, I'm going to quit all that and I'm just going to be a Christian. I'm going to quit being mean and I'm going to be nice from now on. You think that's what happened? No, the Word of God does that. The Word of God cut them in their spirit and in their soul and separated things out. That's what happened. It's the only way it happens. It's only the Word of God that turns a perverse and rebellious spirit into a humble and submissive one. And it's only the Word of God that changes the temper and disposition of the soul from being carnal to having spiritual understanding. It's the Word of God that does that. That's why it's so important to come to church and hear the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that when you do come to church, there is a preacher that preaches the Word of God. And helps you to understand the Word of God. That's what it's all about. It ain't about having a pep rally. And it ain't about having a rejoicing time every service where we're all just rejoicing because we're going to heaven. You got to understand the Word of God. Yes. I don't know if I heard it in a song or read it in a poem or what it was here a while back. But this one person was talking about his grandpa and remembering his grandpa. And he said he remembered how his grandpa would read him a verse out of the Bible, and then he would close the Bible and say, "Now, son, this is what that means." And he'd explain to him. And that's kind of what church is like. And that's what the ministry is like. I mean, that's the power behind it all. Sure, we got to feed the poor and pray for the sick, and all of those things go with it. But the main thing about the ministry of the church is the Word of God. When, you know, in the first church there where they started having trouble with the women, with the widows, you know, they was getting skipped over in the daily ministration. They wasn't getting their plate. And so they had to point some other men over that manner so that they, the apostles, could dedicate themselves, give themselves to the Word of God and prayer. That's what the Bible says. That's what it was about, the Word of God. That's why they went where they went. I mean, that's how come they accomplished what was accomplished. They preached the Word of God. I noticed there we've been reading in Acts, and when Paul preached to the Gentiles, it was a different message. Same message, but he approached it totally different than Stephen did. And the rest of them did whenever preaching to the Jews. Every time they preached to the Jews, they started back at Moses and they came all the way through all the promises in Egypt and the wilderness and all of that. He skipped all that with the Gentiles and preached to them about their superstition. And, you know, I'm going to tell you about God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that's therein. Go study that a little bit. He preached the Word of God. Both of them did. But to the people, the message was given in a different from a different angle. But it's the Word of God both times, see. Reminded them of the Word of God. You think that's what people need nowadays? Oh, I don't believe it no more. It don't make any difference if they don't believe it. You preach the Word and you be instant in season and out of season. Out of season. That's where we're at right now. It's out of season. But we're to preach it anyway. Because it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword and it works. It really does. I'm amazed. I preach that. I believe that. And I'm telling you that. And that I believe it. But every time I see it, I'm astonished again at how it really is true. Because I hear of somebody who heard, somebody who read, and I see its effects. And it astonishes me. Why should it astonish me? I ought to expect that. You ought to expect it. Cast your bread upon the waters. It's not going to be wasted. You're not wasting it. Let me hurry up here. It's only the Word of God that changes the temper and disposition of the soul. From being a carnal person to having spiritual understanding. Those sinful habits that have become as if they were natural to the soul and rooted so deeply in it, they're separated and cut off only by the sword of the Word of God. You don't learn how to not sin other than the Word of God. So that's a big problem, and always has been, with independent Baptists, for one, and their standards and all of that. And nobody believes in standards more than I do. Everybody else has forsaken everything to do with them. But you can't expect people to be spiritual by just encouraging them to adopt the standards that our church stands for. We don't want you to just fit in with the norm of everybody around here. You got to understand the Word of God. Every standard, every virtue, value that you've got, moral standard, has to be rooted and founded in the Word of God. Or it's just a passing thing. You change churches, you'll change moral standards. But not if you got it from the Word of God.
That's right.
It cuts off the ignorance from the understanding and the rebellion from the will. More, the Bible will make you wise. It will. It's where wisdom comes from. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and everything. Who's him? Well, he's the living word, the word of God. The sword, it cuts all that off. The enmity from the mind, it cuts that off. The word of God puts you at peace with God, which when you're carnal is enmity against itself, is enmity itself against God, your mind. You're at enmity with God in your mind when you're carnal. Carnal mind's enmity with God. But the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, cuts your mind off from that. It's the renewing of your mind, you know.
Yes.
Washing, a regeneration. Washing by the Word.
Yep.
The sword, the Word of God, divides between the joints and the marrow. That's the most secret, close, and intimate parts of the body. This sword can cut off the lust of the flesh as well as the lust of the mind and make men willing to undergo the sharpest operation for the mortifying of sin. Do you let the Word of God work on you that way? I mean, it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow. I mean, that's all the way inside your bones. Marrow is inside your bones. Your joints. Well, we complain a lot about our joints, don't we? They're what hurt us as we get older. They wear out and all of that. They hurt worse when you get injured and all of that. That sword of the Spirit, it's illustrating, don't you see?
Yes.
Your spirit, your soul. That most inner part of you. That's where the Word of God works. That's where it goes and cuts. It pierces unto there. My reason won't do that. You got your shield up. You can just fend that. And what I think, my opinions, all that. Anybody else's opinions. They don't do that. You resist other people. The Word of God, it'll cut right through you.
Yeah.
With you resisting, he'll still do it. And that's what we've got. That's what's at your disposal.
Yep.
And you're to labor with it. So you can enter into that rest. Labor with it so you don't fall short like they did. Because if they weren't faith, the word they heard, it was preached to them, but it wasn't mixed with faith. They were skeptics and questioners, doubters. They were carnal people. Well, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I've always noticed that. I thought, man, ain't that something? The Bible reveals your thoughts. That's why that a lot of times people at church say, somebody told him. They're sitting there thinking about it, see? And the preacher preaches about it. So they're thinking about something they've been doing. Because that's what you do. When you know, that's what happens to a sinner. And that's why they don't want to come to church where there's any preaching going on. Because he's going to sit there and the preaching of the Word of God is going to bring to his mind his sin. And his recent sin. And there's going to be condemnation on his soul. And it works so sharply and accurately that he is going to swear somebody told that preacher what I did. I've had that happen so many times. And it was not true. The Bible is that way. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Even the most secret and remote thoughts and designs. It'll reveal to men their thoughts and purposes and the vileness of them. It'll make you feel guilty about your very thoughts. Because it reaches there. I don't know how to express that any better. The Word of God reaches where you can't reach in dealing with somebody else. Remember that with your children. Remember that with loved ones who are lost and out of the way. It's the Word of God. Nothing will speak. Nothing will affect. Nothing has the power that the Word of God does. There are so many verses that are just so appropriate for any, you know, different situations and things. There's an answer. You should study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. You should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the faith that lieth in you, with meekness and fear. And you should be able to answer, be ready to answer with the Word of God. That's what it means. Not with your praise and worship and just telling them how happy you are and how good life is and all of that. It's okay to be thankful and praise God to other people for the benefits of life. But don't you see, life ain't that way all the time for everybody. It's never that way all the time for anybody. Their bad time comes. Bad times come. And so then they say, where's God now? So that's not as effective. I hope you're following me. Use the Word of God. Be ready to give an answer with the Word of God. Why do you believe? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Be ready to give an answer. I remember when I first got saved and we started going out and visiting people, and I was scared because I knew they were going to ask questions and they were going to say things, and I didn't know what to say. Well, it's understandable. I didn't know what to say. And now, I don't think that I know everything. I got an answer, yes, sir. I just have studied the Bible, read it enough, understand it enough as a whole, that I know God will help me to give an answer from the Word of God. And I've experienced it enough to know that He is faithful in doing that. The Word will make them, the Word will turn the inside of a sinner out and let him see all that is in his heart. Talking about plowing. You've heard about a preacher plowing. Well, it is like that. With the Word of God, you plow. And when you plow, it turns up what's under the ground. And you know what's under the ground? Bones and all kinds of dead stuff. And worms and nasty stuff. And it turns it right up there where you can see it. And that's what the Word of God does. I've said it so many times, but you know, Finney said, I read where he said that sinners are hiding their sin. And he said it's up to the preacher to uncover them. John Wesley said he told his preacher, young preachers, he said, if you preach to a crowd of people and they don't get mad at you or they don't get saved, you didn't even preach to them. You did no good. And he wasn't telling them to go out there and be arrogant little old, you know, booger heads and just telling people off and call them names and all that like some of these Baptist preachers do and others. Preach the Word of God. You get results. They may kill you for it. Sure. But it'll do its work. Stephen stood and preached. Oh, faithful Stephen. Bless him. He knew what they were going to do. They're facing to kill him. And instead of begging for his life and compromising and trying to come to some kind of agreement with them and to save his life, I mean, he just let her rip. He told them the truth. In compassion. I mean, he kneeled down and said, Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. That's what he said. How could you throw a rock at somebody who's praying for you like that? Well, they did. Saul standing there giving his consent. He said, when they stoned Stephen, I was there giving my consent. Sin hit him again. Smash his head in. Think about that. But what happened to Paul that day? Yeah. The Word of God. Yes, got him. Stephen wasn't no failure. The Word of God didn't fail. So see how much the Word of God is a great help to our faith and obedience to the gospel. I mean, we got the Word of God, we got our great high priest, and we got access to the throne. The Word of God. I mean, I just don't think we understand what we've got at our disposal and the power that is there while we wimp around and cry around and worry about all the evil in the world. If you really believe what I'm saying to you here this morning, we'd do something about it. Yes, sir. We'd get the Word of God out there. That's why it's important to encourage people to listen. What in the world hope do they have if they don't hear the Word of God? I put in your bulletin, I changed the little thing there this morning and told you, share these links with people. Tell them to listen online. If they won't come to church, if they can't come here, if we ain't got room here, try to get people to listen. It's their only hope.
Yes, sir.
I don't preach to you fairy tales, and I don't tell you stories, and I ain't here to entertain you. We preach the Word of God and help, try to help you understand it better with God's help. And that's what needs to be shared. We're not building a name for ourselves here. We don't want Straight Paths Bible Church to be the name all around town. Everybody knows about it and all that. No! It's time for people to hear the Word of God. And I'm telling you, now is a time. You say you don't think they're listening. You don't think they are. People are searching.
Yes.
It's got everybody shaking.
Yes, it does. That's right.
And everybody examining things and saying, what are we going to do? I mean, they see their world coming to an end. And so they're ready to reach out for some hope and truth. If somebody would just, if they could just find it somewhere.
That's right.
If you were lost and didn't know nothing, where would you go to church now? Where would you start? Where do you tell? I mean, we've got loved ones that's in other places and stuff, and where can I tell them to go to church? All they're doing is having their parties and their foolishness. Get the Word out there. Promote the Word of God. The Word of God is the only weapon or means that we have to use, not only to resist evil, but to bring down all the wickedness in this world. Did you hear me? That's all we got. That's all we got. Well, if we had more money, now that money will not do it. It takes some money to get the Word of God in some places, but it don't cost nothing to get the Word of God out there with your mouth. And it is sufficient for the task. It's all we got, but it's sufficient. And all that lacks is for us to take it up and use it and be skillful in its use. Amen. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it works. I wish that you could all see how it works. I wish you'd experience it. I wish you would quit trying to convince people with arguments and just speak the Word of God. Instead of promoting different causes, and whether it be, you know, even a church. I mean, and maybe I'm too much on that. Maybe I ought to push you a little more to try to get people to come to church and to get them to listen anyway. But that's not what the cause is all about. The cause is the souls of men. Look at all the people out here in darkness.
Yes.
Just look. So confused, so much confusion. And so many people are just so lost and they don't know. And even the ones who claim to be saved and claim to be working for God and working a ministry and all this, and I just see them, man, they're missing the mark. And say, you got a lot of room to talk. How about you doing? Well, I'm telling you the truth this morning. That's one thing. And I know that this is what matters more than anything else. And I know that this is the only thing that'll work. You're not going to keep yourself in the way of God And you say, well, God keeps us. Yeah, but you got to do something too. Labor, therefore, to enter in. You better labor in this book.
Yep.
Read it. Study it. Don't just read it. Study it. Have a mind that wants to know. And you got questions? Look for the answer. We got all these phones and gadgets and computers and everything. What I do now amazes me when I think about these old timers. You look back like Thomas Watson and then Matthew Henry and all of them and what they did without all this. They didn't have a concordance. And what they did and what they wrote. And I just think, my, we are so much less than them. Because if they would have had what we have at our disposal. You got this Word of God. You can search it any way you want. You can find out more in 10 seconds than they could find in a day's labor looking through it. And yet, where does your Bible stay all week? Laying somewhere, gathering dust, while you look at your phone.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, I got the Bible on my phone. Well, Gary's talking there this morning about you go to studying your Bible on the phone. If you touch it and pull up a word, it Googles the word, and you get the Google definition and not the real definition.
Right.
It's the way a lot of those apps work and stuff. Mm-hmm. Nothing will replace the book. When we get to heaven, he's going to open a book, not an iPad.
That's right.
And no app. It's a book. And another book was opened. The books were opened. And another book was opened. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I surely can't do it justice in trying to explain its power and its ability to do what it does. I'm sorry for not being able to do better. I pray you'd help us, Lord, this morning to realize a little bit of it, though. I pray it'll stick with us. I pray we'll realize it's our sword, it's our weapon. We wear our guns and we feel empowered. And my, as a Christian, we ought to have that sword. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn to use it skillfully and properly, that we might make a difference in this time that we're living in. Lord, it's so needed. I pray you'd burden our hearts for the hour that we're living in, for the lost and those around us. Please, Lord, give us a tender heart. Pray you'd help us to not be hardened by all this evil around us and all the anger and hatred and ill that's all about us. Help us, Lord, to avoid it and turn away from it and to keep our hearts and minds stayed on Thee. Blessed our heart now in Jesus' name. Amen.